Okay, San Jefe, we're the end of chapter one, which is, well, before we get to the end of chapter one, we're near the end of chapter one, where the Rebbe talks about the Nefesh HaBahamas, and we got into it a little bit last week. What is the Nefesh HaBahamas? It's referred to as the Duck Shabagas and the Gash Shabaduck. It's like, is it spiritual? Yeah, kind of. Is it physical? Yeah, kind of. It's like, it's the interface between physicality and spirituality. So it's called the refined of the coarse and the coarse of the refined. It lives in the blood. So it's actually shayach. It's, and I don't know if they know nowadays, but one day the scientists will be able to actually maybe point to it. Like we said, like chashmal lives in the battery acid. It's chashmal gashmi ruchni.
They say when there's like the tiniest weight difference when a person dies, scientifically, it's like the tiniest bit.
They say it's a big difference between a high nasir. Yeah. So it's actually in the blood, like we said, just like the perfect mushroom is battery acid and chashmal. Is chashmal physical or spiritual? You could argue that out on both sides. That's the same with the Nefesh HaBahamas. So this, he actually doesn't call it the Nefesh HaBahamas here, he calls it the Nefesh HaChiyunis, the life-giving soul. And he describes, he says, Neshamois Ani Asisi, Shen Shtei Nefashois. There's two Nefashois, which is, that sounds like, you know, okay, great, there's two Nefashois, but really what he did there is he broke away dramatically from the model before Tanya. So also it's very important to remember that Tanya's been around for about 250 years, and a lot of things that we know about Yiddishkeit are because of Tanya. It's really important when he says, it's like, well, that's just Pasha. The only reason it's Pasha is because Tanya's seeped into our lives, and there's many, many Chiddushim in Sefer Tanya. So this is one of the Chiddushim that maybe still is a Chiddush to us, is that he doesn't talk about the two Yetzers, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. Because if you're just talking about the two Yetzers, I've got a Yetzer Hara and I've got a Yetzer Tov. There's me, and I've got a Netiyah to Tov, and I've got a Netiyah to Ra. But it's much more than that. The battle is much more than that. He describes it as two Nefashos, meaning you're making a decision not just between two pools, you're making a decision between two entities. So when somebody says to you, like, what am I? The answer to that question is, it depends. You could be Mamash Kodesh Kedoshim, or you could be something very much of creation. It depends what you've identified. That's the key. That's the key word is identification. I said last week.
But I mean, and for most of us, I'm assuming we're both. Simultaneously.
No, you can't be, but you can, no.
This is how the government.
You're either one or the other. It depends on what you're doing. Meaning, what
well,
are you...
I'm feeding my Nefesh HaBahamas when I eat fruit, but I'm feeding my Nefesh HaKud, what's the other one called? Nefesh HaKud.
Nefesh HaKud.
So I'm feeding that Nefesh when my Nefesh HaBahamas is the feet that brought me here.
So there's two options.
Then my Nefesh HaKud is the,
no,
is,
your feet,
is,
if
is
you were
the
doing,
drive that
if
I came
were,
to work.
If you were doing it, if you were going to eat to sustain yourself and having the right kabbalah, the whole thing, every step was, there's no nefesh.
I'm enjoying my food.
So when you're walking, so then it's purely your Nefesh HaBahamas. There's no elokus there.
When
I don't know. And so in other words, if you're just doing it to be a ferret, then it demands the whole thing's Nefesh HaBahamas.
I don't see it as black and white.
I'll explain.
You know, I enjoy the food that I eat, but also I have it's
pretty black and white. I'll explain. That you, it's like a guy riding a horse.
Right.
The Nefesh HaBahamas is necessary to get you to places. You need to eat, you need to have kiyum maguf.
Right.
Yeah? But when your life is directed in a godly way, you're the nefesh akis is riding the horse. So you can't not eat, you can't not sleep. These avoiders have to take these pa'ulas have to take place. But when it's in context, so for example, when you're walking to shul, you're kulu identified with your nefesh akis. Your nefesh bahamas is being drafted by the nefesh akis to bring you over to the shul. With me?
Okay. What about when I'm eating a meal? I'm digging into a delicious steak, and I'm like, this steak
is Shabbos.
It's just a weekday meal.
So what are you doing, digging into a delicious steak? I'm joking.
You set yourself up.
I understand.
Yeah, so when it comes to pleasure, so now
make a bracha.
Okay, let me explain.
And I made a bracha, and I know also in my mind, I'm thinking this steak that I'm eating is gonna make me strong, so that tomorrow. But at the same time,
much more simple.
I'm very much enjoying the food.
Much more simple.
So there's two things going on simultaneously. That's the issue that I have, is I feel like there's that gray area that most of the time, really, that's the space that I probably operate in.
So when you're they are incompatible. These two forces are incompatible. Nefesh Rakis and Nefesh Bahamas, for different reasons. Maybe we'll speak about that. When you are eating that steak, yeah, if there's a, like, don't forget, we're B'nai 2024, yeah, and we're from the Western world, and in many cases we're addicted to pleasure, and if you don't, like, you know, watch what happens if a guy who smokes cigarettes, you don't give him his cigarettes, he'll go out of his head, literally go out of his head. So there's an inyan of being addicted to the pleasure, yeah? If you're eating that steak to try and, in a sense, shut that chelik of you up, you with me? That's been drafted into Kedusha. If you're eating that steak and it's kulu, it's not, so to speak, the addiction to the taiva, it's for the actual taiva. You with me? It's a subtle difference, yeah? In that case, now you're kulu nefesh bahamas. It's an identification thing.
So it's from moment to moment.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's the whole point, 100%. But it's an identification thing. And this is...
So that's the gray area then, because some moments when we're davening, when we're learning, we're kulu, because some moments we're bahamas.
And it could be the opposite as well. Sometimes when you're davening and learning, it could be kulu nefesh bahamas. Right. When you're sitting there eating a meal, it could be kulu nefesh akis.
Right.
You understand? But just the Indian of identification. And this is the issue with the Aveira of Mishkav Zohar. Everyone understands what I mean by that? Yeah? So what's so gurua about that Aveira? And the Indian is that it comes with identification. See, a person who eats basar v'chalav, yeah? You'll never hear him call himself, I'm an oichle basar v'chalav. He'll never refer to himself as that Aveira. He doesn't identify with that Aveira. Whereas when it comes to Aveiras with the middle of your side, yeah, that comes with identification. Comes with identification, with Das. And that's really bad.
It's not even, but not everything in regards to the side, it's only that aspect of using it incorrectly. In other words, even somebody who, let's say, is a serial cheater, he doesn't call himself a serial cheater. It's only that particular Aveira that people do.
Oh, no, no. There's the identification with the other as well. So it could be that the actual, that Aveira of him cheating on his wife, yeah? I don't know how that would work, but you can't not have relations without some level of identification. It can't happen.
So even how in a mutter way also?
That's why you have a wife. You and your wife are meant to merge. That is the inyan of, that's das. Adam yada eschava. Das can be translated as identification.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine that in a moment.
It says something about me more than
when a wife, when a husband and wife are being together, they could be in the Bahamas
But the inyan is that you can't be aligned. You can't be aligned with two things. So you can do behaviors. See, behaviors are called levushim, yeah? They are, they're external to you. So you can think certain thoughts and you can think other certain thoughts, yeah? You can speak like the forked tongue, yeah? And like, you know, you can eat pizza, you can go for a workout and then immediately eat pizza. So you can do things that contradict each other. But you can't be aligned in two opposite directions. You with me?
Simultaneously.
So if you're going to New York, if you're in Chicago and you're aligned with New York, you're not by definition aligned with LA. So that's the inyan with Mishkav Zohar, and there's another inyan, there's a big sugya here. But when a person becomes aligned with an Aveira, which is the opposite of Ratzon Hashem, that's very bad. And you'll see that will drag their entire life down. Because they are identified, meaning they're merged with the opposite of Ratzon Hashem. That's very negative. And that's why Bichlal, all the Aveiras by Yesod are considered in a sense more Choma, even if not Alpi the Oynesh Alpi Torah, because it comes with that level of identification, which is really to do with Oyneg, a deep level of Oyneg, but we're not going to get into that right now. So either way, it's like this, to understand it, is that you've got one of two options. You're either riding the horse, which in that case, that means you are in control, meaning the Nefesh HaKis is in control, and the Nefesh HaBahamas is being used to fulfill the Ratzon and Nefesh HaKis. The other option is the Nefesh HaKis goes into a dark, cold, horrible dungeon. And the Nefesh HaBahamas has his own way. They can't, the Nefesh HaLakis isn't drafted into the Aveira. The Nefesh HaLakis gets put in a dungeon while the Aveira takes place.
But the Nefesh HaBahamas is drafted for the
mitzvah. Idiot. So now I said this is a beautiful Torah that I was saying to you last week. What?
I said it's not equality.
Ruch Hashem. So I said, I gave a shir the last, on Monday, and later in the sefer he says that Adam Eino Choyte Elisha Nichnas by Ruach Shtus. Yeah, we don't do an Aveira unless it was Nichnas into us a Ruach Shtus. So what is a Ruach Shtus? So Ruach Shtus, the way I understand it, is Ruach is from the inyan of your emotions, which is all about my sense of self. Yeah. And shtus, y'all knows about this, but this is a big sugya we're not going to get into right now. We spoke about it briefly, I think, is the inyan of shita. Shtus and shita is the same shoresh. Remember we spoke about Avraham was able to go lamala from his shita. He was, so to speak, zover his shita. He shechted his shita. Yeah, that's not human. That's only a Jew can do that. The highest level a human being can get to is to have a very heilige shita, or a very noble, let's say noble shita.
That's, yeah, shita.
Like, you know, Gandhi gave up his life for the freedom of India. Yeah, that's arguably a very noble shita. Yeah, and that's a high level of humanity. But only a being that is not of creation, i.e. Yisrael, the chelik of us, the nefesh HaKis, is able to give up the shita. So the shita is the inyan. Why? The shita is the inyan of identification. Having a shita, yeah. How do you translate shita? Ideology.
Viewpoint.
Ethos.
An ethos, an ideology. I think is a good translation. Maybe that you're a shita is what you become identified with. So when you're identified with something, you and it. The definition of identification means a merging of two things. So now, what happens when there's a guy who's mamish angry and you say to him, relax, relax, calm down?
It's more angry.
Why? What? You just get angry and angry. Why can't you, why can't he relax when you say to him, relax? And it will make him more angry.
That's his nature.
What?
He says, that's my nature, that's who I am.
So what happened in this case is this man has identified with his anger, which means what's in front of you? Just anger. There's no man. There's just anger. So now anger is just like another creature in the world. Like every creature, whether it's a gnat or a crocodile or Donald Trump, every creature wants to live. Yeah? Every living being wants to live. So too anger also wants to live. So you turn around to this anger in front of you and you say to him, stop being angry. That's like giving a gun to someone saying, shoot yourself. Like, get out of my face. So it comes out, when you understand it like this, that's the Ruach Shtus, means the only way a Jew can do an Aveira, a Jew can't do an Aveira. Only an Aveira can do an Aveira. Aveira Gereris Aveira. Why? You have a thought in your mind to do an Aveira. Now this is, we speak about this about when you have a taiva to eat a piece of chocolate, and you go to, you have to daven Ma'ariv in the interim. That's a very important idea. So it falls into your mind, you want to eat a bar of chocolate. Yeah, you don't need to eat a bar of chocolate, and don't get all hung up, or we can't eat chocolate, whatever. Just, well, you want to eat a bar of chocolate, and you know you're not, you don't need to eat the bar of chocolate, yeah? It's just kulu taiva. There's no toilets there. And you look at your watch, and it's mamish time for Ma'ariv. And the markolet is next to shul. But you haven't got time to buy it, and you're not chutzpahdik enough to go late to shul to have the chocolate. So you'll go to shul, and then when you finish shul, you'll go to the markolet and buy the piece of chocolate. Everyone's been through this experience before, yeah? Why is it when you're in shul, you're davening, you're in Shemana Esrei?
Focus on chocolate.
What?
You focus on chocolate.
Why can't you turn around to the Rabbeinu Shloim and say, take this tithe away? It's as hard to ask Hashem, everyone knows this, yeah? It, like in front of the computer when you're about to look at something you shouldn't look at, yeah? It's as hard to daven to Hashem to take the tithe away as it is to just not do the tithe. Everyone understands that, yeah? It's exactly the same nisayon. You're in Shemana Esrei and you're thinking chocolate bar, chocolate bar, and you're wiggling on. And it pops into your mind, why don't I just daven to Hashem to not eat the yeah? You can't do it, why? Because at that moment you've identified with the tither, there's no you, there's just the tither. You with me? You need to make sure that you make sure that the levushim are the levushim, meaning it's machshava, it's not you, it's a thought you're having. Once you can create a separation between you and the thought, yeah, or you and the tither, now there's a chance. But Kol Zman, we've identified with the tither, there is no chance. Why? Because there's no battle, because there's not two things fighting. There's just a tither. So now davening to have the tither taken away would be analogous again to handing the guy a gun and saying, shoot yourself. Just like the anger wants to continue living, the tither wants to continue living. Everyone's with me?
Yeah.
Yeah? So it comes out from this. A Jew never does an Aveira. What does an Aveira? Yeah. The Aveira does the Aveira. When the Nefesh of Bahamas identifies with the Aveira, then the Aveira can take place. So I said this to my Rav, and he said to me, he quoted the Zoya, and he said, it says, Shmi v'zichri, what is it? Shmi lo'ilam v'ed v'zichri l'do. What?
Ze shmi lo'ilam v'zeh zichri l'do.
Yeah. So the Zoya says, Yud ke im shmi shasa. Vav ke im zichri ramach. Yeah, that's it. So my Rav explained to him, it means like this. The Yud ke is the moichim, yeah? That's higher. Everyone's heard that the concept of the mitzvahs lo yisase are higher than the mitzvahs ase. Everyone's familiar with that idea? No one knows why, but that people have heard that maybe, yeah? So this is the source for that, or a source for that. So the Yud Kei, which is 15, plus Gematria Shmi equals Shasa. Yeah, Shasa means it's Loisase. The 365 negative prohibitions. Vav Kei, which is the Midas in the lower level, which is 16, with Gematria with the Gematria Zichri is Ramach, 248. So that shows that the mitzvahs lois asay are higher than the mitzvahs asay, which are lower. Why? What's the avoider of the mitzvahs lois asay? What's the mitzvahs avoider asay? Mitzvahs asay are always either dibor or maisa. Even the machshavadika mitzvahs that are very few, they always have an element of dibor as well. They're all Dibur Maisa, that's the Vav, that's the lower level. the Shas HaMitzvahs Lo Yisa say a machshava. Why? Because the whole avoider of not doing an of mitzvahs Lo Yisa say is what we just spoke about, is making sure you don't identify with the machshava. That's a very heavy avoider. If you can always make sure to be cognizant of the fact that there's me and I have machshavas, as opposed to the default matzav of humanity, which is I am what I'm thinking, I think, therefore I am, said whatever. I don't know if he actually said that, but whatever. Yeah. But I don't know if he actually said it. He said something a little different, I think. He's a little bit more intelligent than that. But that's for sure, that's the avoid of Mrs. Lois Sarsay, is not becoming identified with your machshavas. That's the only chance we have against the veilers. That was a bit of a side point, but it was still
on top. Also explains why, like, someone does a bishogeg, why they have there's still element of sin there, because while they didn't become blended, they also didn't not become blended. You know,
like they also didn't become...
Even though they didn't become blended, let's say, with the era, they also didn't become not blended.
They didn't separate themselves mamash, otherwise it wouldn't have happened.
Like when you're,
very good.
It's like a little Shabbos. The shogeg is more like, well, you weren't blended with Shabbos either. And so
Psh, very good, beautiful. Right. What I don't, it's good. What's your name?
Ellie,
what?
Sharp.
Ellie?
Sharp.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Sharp.
Sharper.
Ellie Sharp. Okay, square. So really it is kind of black and white. It changes all the time. And just this is a very important idea as well, is the idea of eating lishma. I always learn that eating lishma would look something, like this, yeah? It probably wouldn't look like that. The way I've understood eating lishma is like this. If you have a business project on, yeah? Like a good example is like you need to build a website or something that takes a lot of time, a few days. You know, people have these business projects that are a good few days or weeks of real amalus, real yagia, and real hasmada, yeah? So you're doing this thing, you've been working for like 6 hours, 8 hours, and you look at your clock, it's like, wow, it's 4 o'clock, I didn't eat lunch yet. I better run and grab a bite to eat. Yeah, you run and grab a bite to eat. You're not thinking about your project. You're just thinking about the food, you're just eating, yeah? You're enjoying it maybe, you're not thinking about your project, but take a look back. Is there any havamina to think that food, that eating was not 100% for the project? You're so immersed in the project that by definition, that food that you're eating, that's part of the project. Or that exercise that you're doing is part of the project, that stroll that you're going on. Or even that
you're gonna wolf it down probably also. You're just in that situation because you just want to get back to.
It could be. Or you also you're aware that if you're
at
not
least I have. I've been in that situation where like I have a focus and then I gotta eat and I go eat, but I just want to get back to what I'm focused on. So I'm back to what I'm doing again.
So that's the. But that's the idea of eating lishma or of our lives being lishma. Isn't this like self-conscious? That's not what it's about, man. It's about just, look, what am I about? What's my life about? You've got something better to do than serve the Creator? That's what Avram said when he said, Hineni. Boin Hashem said, Avram, you want to help me out on this? It's like Hineni. What does it say? Lashon, another Vazimun, says Rashi. I'm sitting here waiting for you, like your car. Like, what's your car doing right now? Just sitting there waiting for you. It's got nothing else to do. That's us. And that's not such a high level as well. That's not an unattainable thing. Just think a little bit about, just put things into perspective and you'll realize that all the things of this world are just, they're enjoyable maybe, but they're not like, nothing's important here. Nothing's like real. It's not such a crazy, unattainable level. And if you get to that place where you realize that all the things of this world are just, great, okay, that's cool, but nothing more than that, now you're eating lishma, even with your wife lishma, imagine that. Everything's lishma. Your whole world has just become holy. And you don't look like this with the payas and the bulging veins and the sweat and all that stuff. Yeah, that's fine. So we've got, this is what the Tanya did for us. He created this, he showed us that the game is much more than just an atir this way or an atir that way. It's the choice between two different realities. It's the choice between creation and creator. That's really what it means, that you've got a godly soul and an animal soul. And again, it's not an animal soul, it's a human soul, a nefesh achiyunis. That's the fight. It's the fight between being human and being godly. The fight of the umos ha'olam is between being a behema and an adam. The fight of a yid is between being an adam and elokus. It's not between a behema and an adam for us. If it is, it's because we've been in galus for too long. We've picked up some bad stuff from our surroundings. But the default setting of a Jew is a struggle between being human and being godly. That's our struggle, not between being animal and human. So he goes off and he now tells us that the Nefesh HaBahamis is composed of four elements, yeah, which is fire, water, air, and earth. He says it in that order. And that sounds kind of like medieval and babyish, yeah, but it's actually incredibly sophisticated. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained it as the four elements of, or the four states of gas, liquid, solid and plasma, which would be fire. Yeah, that's a different state. But then I was speaking to a friend of mine, I'm not going to get into this too much, not that I really understand it properly, but you know there's the four forces in reality. There's the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, gravity, and electromagnetism. Yeah, so you can speak to my friend Rafi Cohen, who'll explain it to you, that these four elements actually stim with those four koichos, which is Modic. And the way that my Rebbe explained it is that they're basically four modes of movement. So fire goes up, yeah? Water goes down. Air moves in any which way. It's opinionless. Whatever way you push it, it moves. And earth resists movement, doesn't move. That's a modica way of understanding it. So don't get thought caught into this like medieval, that was, you know, 1,000 years ago, because everything we just said just now, modern science would probably be in agreement with that as well. Not that it makes such a difference, but it's just
cool to hear. Parshas Bereishis, the four, it talks about four rivers, that there are four rivers that become one river. So the Maharal said that those four rivers are talking about the four primary forces in the universe, that really, they're all one force.
Mm. And that's why the scientists are looking for the unified field theory. Yeah. So these four, see, the Rebbe now goes and lists the what comes from these four elements. Yeah. The Nefesh HaBahamis is composed of these four, calls them evil elements, meaning self elements that have a level of self. And he says by fire, comes from fire, gaiva, as in the order, kas and gaiva, yeah, anger and arrogance, okay? From water comes like tivers, like women and food, etc. From air comes like hoilulus, leitsoinus, what's the order? Hoilulus, leitsoinus, hisparus, bedvan betalim. Hoilulus is like just being like...
Silly,
yeah? And leitsoinus is like scoffing. His paris is boasting, and divine batalin just means talking shtiyot, like we do all the time. These are all pleasures. This is really important to understand it. Although he calls them midas, they're really pleasures. And when you understand it, it's like amazing. Then he finishes off, that's mesoda ruach, then he says, va'atzvas mesoda offer. And laziness and depression come from offer. Yeah, we spoke about this last week. That offer is actually not an emotion. Sorry, the atzvus is not an emotion. Depression is not an emotion. Atzvus is an inability to experience emotion. It's a vacuum of emotion. So the opposite of atzvus is simcha, but the opposite of atzvus is also avelus. So a person who is in a depression wouldn't be able to mourn, just like he wouldn't be able to dance. That's an amazing idea. Mourning is not a... Mourning is nowhere near as negative as atzvus. Atzvus is like the worst because there's no energy there. You can't do anything. Mourning, you can turn around You know, everyone knows if you, Tisha B'Av is a good day to turn things around. Yeah, that's why with mourning we tear our clothes, because what is it you're tearing? What is it that you need to turn around?
Externalities.
You sorry?
Externality.
Yeah, you're machshavati b'maisa, you're levushim. So when a person's in a state of mourning, it's a perfect opportunity. We should know to flip around the behavior. That's it's masugul to help us flip around the behavior. That's the union of tearing our clothes. So see, kas, the way the list works, it's lovely to do this because usually you don't get a chance to go sober Ian into Tanya. But these ideas are just so divine. It lists the two pleasures. It goes kas v'gaiva. Then it says hoilus then soilus is paras u'divayim b'talim. And then it says atzlus v'atzvus. The final word, the final thing that it's talking about is the inyan. The first thing is a subset. So it says, I'll explain. It says kas v'gaiva, meaning the real pleasure is gaiva, and a derivative of gaiva is kas. The real pleasure is devarim b'talim, and a derivative of those pleasures is hoilus and soilus v'sparas. The real pleasure is atzvus, and a derivative of that is atzlus, is laziness. It blasts open the psyche in like such a way. Like I speak to people who are, you know, therapists or psychologists and stuff, and I also read, you know, a bit of, you know, the secular take on things, and they haven't begun to understand human nature without this sefer. I don't know of another sefer that explains it like this. And with the Masorah, you wouldn't know it from here, but when you have the Masorah that comes with it, I'm trying to give over now, the way it breaks it down is unbelievable. The first of all the times, the first of all the pleasures is really the only pleasure, which is the pleasure of gaiva. That's really the whole game. The game is a game between anivus and gaiva. That's the whole thing. That was Paro and Moshe. Paro was Ish Anav Ma'oid, and he said, Ein Od Milvado. Slicha, I said Paro?
Yeah.
Slicha, Chazal Shalom. That Moshe was Ish Anav Ma'oid, and he said, Ein Od Milvado. Paro was Paro, yeah? And he said, Ani Va'afsi Oid, there's only me. That is the fight. That's the whole thing. That is it. It's a fight between Anivus and Gaiva. It's a fight between I am and he is. Yisbarach. That's really the whole game. So this is the Ikazas. Now the first expression of Kas, of Gaiva, is Kas. So Gaiva can be described as a wall around you. Well, can someone give me a definition of gaiva?
Ego.
What does that mean?
Ego is like this, it's like a extremely inflated sense of self, you know, where it's like you're just, there's nothing else. And so
the ultimate
like the
level
of being normal gaiva.
The ultimate level of gaiva, you're saying, would be right. There's me and nothing else.
Right, so therefore you get angry because you're in control. And now suddenly you're not in control, let's say. Or...
So we'll say something slightly different. I mean, that's not that it's going to say that isn't true. That's true, but something slightly different is that what Gaiva really is doing is... Gaiva is saying there's something else. There's another agenda. The reality is that Shem Echad, yeah, which means all there is the Ribono Shel Olam. That's reality. The fact that there's the concept of another, yeah, that's called Sitra Achra, that is a chiddush. And the reason why that exists is for you to not choose it. You're presented with another option that is there for you to not choose. That's called Bechira. That's the point of Bechira. And all you're ever choosing is yourself. See, we think that I've got this bad mood and I need to fix this. I need to stop with my anger. I need to stop with my tivas. I need to stop with my, with my skipping out and, you know, being late for sure. I need to stop all these different avayas. When really, if you think into it a little bit, it's all just one problem. You just take yourself too seriously. It's such a relaxing feeling when you realize that, in fact, it pops up into your mind to say some Lashon Hara, yeah? The only reason why you say Lashon Hara is because you're taking yourself so seriously. If it pops up into your mind, I'll tell you a story with one of my sons, yeah? My son Yochanan, and we learn in the Rambam with each other. He's like 11 years old. I think this happened when he was 10. And I wake him up. It's a little different now, but then I was waking him up early in the morning to learn with me. So I come into his room, you know, 7:45, 7:30, something like that, and he's lying in bed. I'm like, Yochanan, get up, come on, it's time to learn. He's like, Abba, I'm tired. And I turned around to him and I said, Yochanan, I don't care. And I said, and you know what? There's another 8 billion people on this planet, and none of them care. No one cares that you're tired. No one, just you. So I said, Al tifrosh min hatzibur, and get up. And he did. Got up and we learned.
Does it work every time?
It made a difference. Yeah, he's almost flying. He's Baruch Hashem, he is. He's flying. But that's the whole goal. Like, so if you want to say something that you shouldn't say, so now I have to work on my Lashon Hara. Yeah, or you want to look at something you shouldn't look, now I have to work on my Shmiras Anayim. Or you want to go somewhere where you shouldn't go, and now I have to... There's all these projects that you've got, yeah? Why don't you just focus on the root of everything, which is the fact that when you want something, you can't say no to yourself. Then all of a sudden, everything starts to fall away. And there's not Shmiras Anayim, there's not Tikkun HaBris, there's not Shmiras HaLoshon, there's just... Don't take myself so seriously, you know? So that's really good. That's a shush of all of Aira, is the fact that you can't say no to yourself. When it pops up in yourself, I want, now fill in the blank, that's irrelevant. That's the problem, is we're chasing after the blank the whole time. And we missed that, the word I want, that's where the fight really is. So there's lots of, this is amazing, because there's loads of avoiders that we can be doing. This is the liberating factor of this. When it comes to Shmiras Anayim, yeah, right now, I've got no, there's no Nisayon for Shmiras Anayim. So I can't, I'm not there. Right now, I've got no desire to say anything forbidden, or I've got no desire to eat something forbidden, whatever it is, yeah. So I'm just sitting here doing my thing. Whereas when we realize that the whole Avoda is being able to distance myself from that voice that says, I want, now, you can be involved in that milchama all the time. So, for example, I'll just give you a few examples, yeah? For example, these are just my own shtick. You can do whatever you want. But, like, when there's, I'll only use one tissue, yeah? Or when I wash my hands, you know, they have the paper towels by the sink. I'll take only one paper towel. Could I use two, yeah? Probably two would be a drip better for me, maybe. But one's basically enough, you know. But when I go and take the paper towel, I'm very careful to take out one. I'm like, why should you take two? That's already helping me process that idea. So now when my wife says something really, really annoying and it rises up in me to say something back that's much worse, that paper towel that I took, well, I took the paper towel and said to myself, you know, who are you to take two paper towels? Or there's a chad parmi cup. I'm not saying drive yourself mashug over this. You have to work this out for yourself. But I was about to take a chad parmi cup, yeah? And there's one of the plastic ones there that I'll have to wash up afterwards. You say to yourself, take a plastic cup, wash it up. Who are you? Don't be so lazy. Treat yourself like that. And then when your wife says that thing, that there's money on the table now, you have got a much better chance of turning around to yourself and saying, shut up, I'm not gonna say that. You hear that? It's a moedic thing. I just gave you, I mean, I live my whole life, like when you park your car, Yeah, I did this just now. I parked my car. It was a space probably just big enough for two cars. Just, yeah. And I'll probably have a little bit. If I put myself right back against the car behind me, yeah, then it's going to be hard to pull out. Yeah. Well, I said, bless you. I pulled myself far away enough that it will be a little bit annoying if someone else parks. And I say to myself, who are you to take up two parking spaces? You know what I mean? Those avoiders that you can take, you can do all the time. It's like the whole time, yeah? And that actually stands for you. So somebody says to me, like a guy came to me the other day after the shiur and is like, I'm trying to quit smoking. Help me quit smoking. So I just said to him, okay, so start being on time. He's like, what? I said, start being on time. And come back to me in like a month when you've been on time for a month. And now we'll talk about the next thing. And that's the avoider, is when you've never been able to say no to yourself and now the timer for a cigarette comes up. It's signed and sealed. You know, as long as things are on your side, as long as the weather is favorable, you're okay. But the minute it comes against you, now the timer comes, I want a cigarette. But if you're working the whole time on these, how difficult is it to take one towel instead of two or three towels? How difficult is that? It's extremely easy. This is the point, to take one tissue instead, to park in that parking space. When it comes to that, I'm now really upset with my wife. I want to say something nasty to her, yeah? How difficult is that to not do? Yeah, that's almost impossible, yeah? So you can really stack the reality in your favor and it draws the thing into it. And in every way, like when you're sitting on a couch, or you know when you sit in shul, you know how it works in shul? Is everybody sits at the edges of the aisle and there's empty spaces in the aisle, yeah? You know what I'm talking about? They're not in the aisle, so in the middle of the bench. The aisle seats are always taken, and there's spaces available in the middle, yeah? Sit in the middle. You won't die, it'll be all right. Yeah? Sit in the middle of the thing, and you just got holier. You just were able to put yourself second, and now when it comes to important things, you're going to have a much greater chance of actually being oimid than a siren. It's a double pusher.
Because you have to build those muscles.
Exactly.
You're
exactly. Exactly. So Gaiva, going back to Gaiva, that is everything. That's the shoresh of the whole thing. I just take myself too seriously. And it gets to the point where you've thought enough about it and you've been with the right people and you've done the avoiders and you've invested yourself in Torah mitzvah so deeply that you start to, that sense of I starts to really fall away. Now, when that sense of I is very strongly, like Ellie said, yeah, then anger comes when someone
threatens it.
Now, a good way of understanding this, it says that in that book, Reclaiming Sanity, that you can look at Gaiva as a kind of wall around yourself, a conceptual wall around yourself, yeah? And the more gaiva someone has, the thicker the wall, the stronger the wall, the higher the wall, whatever it could be, yeah? Until it becomes an impenetrable fortress, yeah? Now, when somebody, what is anger? What is anger coming to do? What is anger a response to, huh?
To push the threat back over the wall.
So, this is a different way of seeing it. Maybe you could say that as well. When what anger is when somebody minimizes you somehow. Like you said, someone like he somehow, or a lot of the time she, yeah, so that is, yeah, she somehow minimizes you. She speaks to you in a condescending way, or she spent money that she shouldn't have spent. Or shivachule vachule, yeah, as we all understand, yeah? And you get angry. What happened? So this is the way that Tolly explains it. It's very, very true, I think. Is that what happened is there was a breach in the wall. She smashed the wall down. A little bit, depending. Yeah, she smashed the wall down. Now, what anger does is it turns X into an enemy. That's what anger does. whatever you're angry against, while you're angry against it, you've turned that into an enemy. Now, what an enemy is like something that you've put a wall around. That's what an enemy is, an enemy you push away from, yeah? So you've erected a wall around that. It doesn't have to be a person, it could be the weather. If you went, you wanted to go camping, yeah, and the weather now is raining and you lost your, you know, the weather's minimized you, you get angry, why? So now you build a conceptual wall. This is as modic. You build a conceptual wall around the weather, and when you build a wall around your neighbor's field, you, by ma'elav, automatically are erecting a wall around your field. So by putting a wall around what you're angry against, that is a subconscious way, what you're trying to do, what your ego is trying to do, is replenish, to fill in the gap in the wall that was caused by X. That's how it's working. And that's why the tremendous tikkun that Chazal speak about, all the tzaddikim talk about, is being oymed b'shtika, yeah, in front of bushes. When someone's mevazeh you, mevayesh you, and you're able to shut up, yeah, like I was talking about with the paper towels, yeah, that's like not taking any paper towels forever. It's literally the aliyah that you get from, and by the way, that means shtika. That doesn't mean shtika bepeh. That means shtika bifnim. In fact, it could be the opposite. If you're shasut bepeh, and inside you're screaming and I'm, look out, I've got, look what I'm not like you, I'm holding this in, it could be much worse. But if you can actually remain silent and just be there whilst that wall has been dismantled a little bit, you'll see everything, every other avoider in your life. You'll be kinder to your kids, you'll be more tolerant with your wife, you'll be more honest in your business, you'll everything, you'll be more diligent in your Torah, you'll daven, you'll be on time for davening. It's all the same thing. Why are you not on time for davening? Because you've got something else to do. And I'm choshev. So Hashem, you'll wait for a few minutes. Oh, look, I'm going to daven, but let me just do what I'm doing right now. Let me take care of this and then I'll be with you. That sounds like you're taking yourself very seriously. As opposed to, well, it's time to daven, I'm about to do this. Excuse me, I have to go and daven. I don't belong to myself. That's what Paro said. He said, Ani Asi Sisoni. He said, I made myself. That's the paradigm statement of the Klipa, is I made myself, I own myself.
Is that the Indian, you know, Navardic? The Navardikers were very into like embarrassing themselves. They would go into a hardware store and ask for an apple.
I don't know what that is.
Hasidic group.
Okay.
Not Hasidic.
No, the, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That. I mean, it's Chazal. Chazal spoke about this forever, and yeah, Rabbi Nachman spoke about it at great length as well. Not great length, but he's in Torah Vav. Yeah, Torah Vav. So being shosik by bizyonis. Yeah.
Dafka, putting yourself into a situation where you're going
to
be.
No, that's just Navardic. That's what they were famous for.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But the idea of just when that doesn't mean if your kids are mavazi you can't be silent. But that's not because you've been embarrassed. That's because your kids aren't allowed to embarrass their father. You have to, if your kids do something that is mavazi you, yeah, you have to go out the room or whatever you have to do. You have to process the anger and realize that it's from Hashem, and that really your whole facade that you think you are anyway is just dinyonis. And now you come back and you have to tell your children they're not allowed to be mothers of their father. Not for you, but for them. So don't, it doesn't mean.
That's harder. Well, I said that's harder than just being quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But you can't allow your children to, it's very important your children stand up for you when you walk in the room as well. It's very important that they do that, not for you, for them. It's very important. And you can mention, you don't have to say stand up for me. You should say, you know, it's a mitzvah to stand up for Tati when you walk in the room. Right. And then the real way of enforcing that is when your parents walk in the room, you mamash, even if you're lying on the couch, it's better. And Hashem will work it out, it'll be like this. You'll be lying on the couch, your parents come in, and you mamash stand upright like that, mamash. Yeah, that will be a good segula for helping your kids stand up in front of you. And it's not for you, bichlal. Chas v'shalom, nothing to do with you at all. It's for them. It's for them. So this is the shirish of everything is gaiva. Yeah, and we'll finish on this last part, and then we've gotten to the end of the aleph. What is the difference between the umas ha'olam and Yisrael? I'm using the Lashon Naki because it goes online, and I just want to keep it. Everyone understands. Yeah, what is the difference between a goy and a yid? But practically, okay, yeah. What's the difference? How does that play out? Like I've met, like you know, one of the biggest tragedies that I know of is in the you know Haredi world, especially where I live, where the idea of umas ha'olam is like you know guys with axes and sheep and all kinds of filthy, you know, just you know, look at Gandhi, yeah. He did Tana's Debo every Sunday. He fasted all the time. He was Polish from his wife. He's a, you know, if he had a yarmulke on tzitzis, we'd be going in for brochas, yeah? So you have to keep that in mind. When you say the brocha, shalom sani goy, someone told me I'm thinking about Donald Trump, or like the most powerful person. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely wrong.
Wrong.
Pashut wrong. You should be thinking about Stephen Covey, or Mahatma Gandhi, or Mother Teresa, or whoever, that's what you're saying.
A powerful person, someone that we consider a chashuv person.
Why
is Trump different than the other people you mentioned?
Mahatma Gandhi.
Because they had more chay.
Because Mahatma Gandhi was a worked out Baal Midas. So we're not saying that, the difference between me and the umas ha'olam is not power. Bichlal, that's nothing to do with the equation. The equation is that their midas and my midas are different things. So I'm talking about the most elevated, human being.
It's easier to say Oshlei Sani Guy on a Nazi than it is to say it on Gandhi, basically.
You miss out the limud. Because now if I'm saying Shalom Sani Goy on some Bahamadika guy with a club and a knife, yeah, with blood all over him, yeah, and his flies undone, yeah, then like what's my avoider here? Just don't kill people and don't have relations with animals.
Nice.
Yeah, then I'm doing great. No, that's completely off. Yeah? I'm Shalom Sani Mahatma Gandhi. He like I said, man, he like did Tainus all the time. He was Moedin. Read about him. Give you a big
hizik. Even from Gashmi's purposes, though, they didn't have any. Like, can you imagine having all that and not having a Shabbos?
Yeah, you're right. That's the difference. So, what is the difference between a Ben Adam and a Yisrael? Yeah, so this is, I can't think of anything more important. And the raya for it is, can't be any more important, is because it is the end of Perek Aleph. So, if anybody reads Tanya, the first thing they see is this. This is now, he doesn't explain it how I'm going to explain it as well to Shem, because this is coming with the Masoira, but this is where it is. And this is why this Sefer gets such a bad rap, because it's considered racist. Yeah? Because he says that the Nefesh of Bahamas of a Yid comes from what's called Klipas Noiga, which means the Sitra Achra itself, it has a sense of self, a very strong sense of self, but it's like translucent glass. Yeah, like milky glass, you know, halavi, like milky glass, translucent glass. You don't have any here. As opposed to the Nefesh Bahamis of the Umas Ha'olam is opaque, which is like a brick wall. They're both klipa, like when you're looking, there's three options. There's transparent, translucent, and opaque, yeah? When I'm looking out of a window, a clean window at a view, I am of no way cognizant, in no way cognizant of the window. I'm completely, the window dissolves to the view. That's called transparent. That's what Kedusha is. Kedusha dissolves to Hashem. Kedusha is transparent to Hashem. Yeah, that's what it means, Kadosh. It's a kli, yeah, it's not elokus, mamash, but it's a transparent kli, like a glass. So when you look at that, like you look at a Sefer Torah, that's Kadosh, yeah, you think about the Rabbeinu Shloim. It's Megale Hashem, yeah? This table and everything of this world, basically everything in this room, is called Klipas Noiga, which means it's translucent. Now I look at that bookshelf, those books of Baby Kodesh, I look at that piece of art, yeah? And I don't necessarily think about Hashem. But if I use my seichel, I can actually, something that's of klipas noga means it's, when I'm in a bathroom and there's a frosted window, I know if it's night or daytime outside. Meaning it allows an element, there's an element of revelation. Masha'enkein, if it's just a brick wall, I have no idea if it's night or day outside. Okay? So that's klipas noga. Klipas noga means there's a hint. It's not specific, but there's a hint to Kedusha, whereas klipas tumeis is there's no hint to Kedusha. So the difference between the nefesh abaham is the life-giving soul of Yisrael and the life-giving soul of the umas ha'olam is that idea of the difference between frosted glass and a brick wall. The difference between a kosher piece of steak and a non-kosher piece of steak. I could hold up both pieces of steak. They will look exactly the same. They'll taste the same. They'll smell the same. They'll cost the same. For all intents and purposes, never they're the same. Well, if it was, whatever, it could cost. Yeah, it should. You're right. Yeah, that's for sure. True. Maybe that's also that's something to think about. But anyway, but that's the difference between the nefesh abahamis of Yisrael and the nefesh abahamis of Umas Olam. So the definition of a yid is a human being with a nefesh elokis, a human being with a neshama. The human being, a neshama is not Jewish. A neshama is a neshama. Yeah, in Shemayim you have sviras, neshamas, malachim, hecholos, ulamas. You have, that's the order, I think. So you have neshamas, but a neshama is not Jewish. Yisrael, a yid, is a human being who's Nefesh Bahamas brackets comes from Klipas Noiga, yeah, the translucent Klipa, who has connected to it, him, her, a Neshama. So a human being is, a Yisrael is a human being with a Neshama. A Goy is a human being, which is a tremendous Madrega. Don't ever, ever underestimate the level of a human being. It's of creation, but it's the highest element of creation. And it's called Medaber, and it has a seichel. Now, listen to the practical difference. And when I learned this, it was like, The difference of a Nefesh Bahamis that is Kulu Ra, which is what we just described, which is the opaque Nefesh Bahamis, yeah? Kulu Ra means, that's like a code word of saying opaque, yeah? Kulua means that it can't appreciate the existence of another. That's what it means, kulua. It doesn't naturally have the ability to appreciate that anything else exists outside of it, which, by the way, is probably the default of most of us, yeah? Everything we look at in the world, we look at it in context of ourselves. So the Nefesh Bahamis of a Yid, which again is a perceiving being, yeah, is of a translucent klipa, which means naturally it has the ability to appreciate the reality of another. You got that?
So the guy didn't have to work much harder to appreciate the...
So we'll get there in a minute. Yes. So a Yisrael, by default, his factory default settings are the ability to perceive the reality of another to varying levels. If a Yid, and we see Yidden who can't do that, that's because they picked up a Teva Sheni from Galus. But the Teva Rishon of the humanity of a Yid is the ability to appreciate the reality of another. And therefore you have, you know, the woke movement, communism, this is all run by Yidden. Yeah, you have Sadaka by secular Yidden is incomparable to the Umas Olam. By secular Yidden, have no kesher to Torah and mitzvahs, yeah? Why? Because their humanity appreciates the other. What are the three midas that we say about, this is gorgeous, what are the three midas we say that differentiates the Yidden?
Aisha gomil chesed.
Gomil chesedim, vayshanim, v'rachmanim. What are those three midas? Do chesed, kindness, you're shy, embarrassed, whatever, and you have rahmanas, mercy. Those are dinim on the appreciation of another person. Why is it that I do kindness? Because I appreciate you, amanda amma. Why is it that I'm embarrassed in front of you? Because I appreciate you, amanda amma. Why is it that I have mercy on you? Because I appreciate you, amanda amma. Those are the characteristics of the humanity of a yid. You know what I mean? It's more
legit. What about Gandhi?
Wait, so now we'll get there. That's great segue for this next part is that that's the default setting of a yid. And again, like I said, we could have picked up a Teva Sheli, as we probably have. But the Teva Rishon of a yid is that. The Teva Rishon of the Umos HaOlam is not that. By nature, they are not able to perceive the reality of another. However, what separates them from the animal kingdom is a seichel, is intellect. And they can use their intellect to train themselves to appreciate the reality of another. And that's the purpose of the Umos HaOlam in this world. That's what the Umos HaOlam call the golden rule. What did Hillel say? The ger comes to Hillel, the goy comes to Hillel and asks Hillel to tell him the whole Torah on one leg. The alaych sane, the chaverach loy savid. What is hateful to yourself, don't do to another, yeah? Which is the golden rule. Why did he say that? Because if you go to the Gemara in Makkos, yeah, it has all the tzaddikim, what omed the Torah, David was omed it on 11. You could say that on one leg. Yeah, Yishiyahu, I think on 6, you could say that on one leg. Vaday Habakkuk said it, you know, telling them Manasseh or Yichya, you could for sure say that on one leg. Why did Hillel go out of left field and bring in a completely different thing that none of the tzaddikim and Makkos said? Because he was giving the entire Torah for a goy. The entire Torah of the Umos HaOlam, and listen to the Lashon, the alayich sani, lechaverach lo yisavid. The alayich, what's the first word of that Chazal? You. Use your intellect to extrapolate from you. Don't do that to him. What's the benchmark of that? Is that I am a manda amma. Use your intellect to work with your nature of your deep sense of self to extrapolate and realize that there's another mensch who's probably the same as that. And Gandhi did that to such a degree where he actually came to Bittul against another human. So what's the purpose of Yisrael? If that's just Teva, that can't be our purpose. What's the purpose of Yisrael? And in here lies the reason, the etra, why we were created. The avoider of the Umos HaOlam in this world is to get to the madrega of recognizing the reality of another human being over their own reality. The avoider of a yid is to recognize the metzias of the Rabbeinu Shloilam over their own reality. That's our avoider.
So how did Tolly get there?
He didn't. You know, I don't know. He could have done. I don't know enough.
He's saying in many instances it could look the same, but it's not.
It could look absolutely.
Very well, like Gandhi itself.
But there's no one better here. You realize this? It's just we're different. We're fulfilling different purposes. The purpose of the Umos HaOlam is to give kiyum to the Olam. That's why they're called the Umos HaOlam, and that's why they're called the Chassidei Umos HaOlam, the ones who believe in Torah. Why not the Tzaddiki Umos HaOlam?
There's no concept of
a tzaddik. Yeah, there is. The tzaddik umos olam are like the people who don't believe in God, who are just being really good mention, because they believe in the golden rule. Well, who do you think's better? These crazy mishigners who are believing God and are doing all kinds of, or you get like a really righteous atheist who he doesn't believe in God for good reasons, yeah, much better reasons than the people who believe in God believe in God. And if I was listening to the people who believe in God try and convince me that there's a God, yeah, I would be mamish the staunchest atheist in the world, yeah. So who cares? But he's nullified himself to principles, the principle of the golden principle, what is hateful to you, don't do to another. Now, I don't know if that goes all the way through, but that person is called Tzaddiki Umos HaOlam. I give you even more. There's no mitzvah for a goy to believe in the Rabbeinu Shloilam. What are the shevet zeh noyach? Avoid a zara. Then I say something really cute. It says, Lo Levarech. I said, I think I said this, you know. It says, Lo Levarech Hashem. It's Lo Lekaleles Hashem. Then murder, Gneva, Neuf, and Eva Menachai and Bate Dinin. Yeah? Where does it say about believing in Hashem?
Well, I thought the Shem is when they're doing the Shem, because I remember that not only do they have to do the Shem, but they also have to do it with Shem Shammai.
To be called Chassidei Umas Ha'olam, says the Rambam. What about if they're just doing the 7 minutes and they know it? They're not doing the Avodah Zarah. What?
By default, you're saying, like, without any...
They've just good guys, and they've thought about it, and they've worked out that, look, I want this world to be really nice. Why wouldn't I want this world to be nice? That starts with me. I'm going to start being really nice. There's a lot of people who think like that. You don't need to believe in God to be nice. The golden rule, Stephen Covey says it in The Seven Habits, be mevatel yourself to principles. He doesn't talk about God. Yeah, when you can't, and anyway, the Umas Olam can't be mevatel themselves to God, because their bittul to God would be a tsura in their mind, a form in their mind. A yid isn't told to believe in God. Hashem just said, Anochi Hashem. How do you believe? Oh yeah, I believe in God. Who cares what you believe? I believe in I believe in gremlins and the fairy and fairies. You believe in God. Those words are like, what is God? Oh, you believe in it and you don't know what it is. And you, okay, it's not like a white, old man with a cloud, with a beard on the cloud. Yeah, but it's some kind of infinite, omnipotent, omniscient spirit that's everywhere, all the place. Yeah, that's the same thing as an old man on a cloud. Yeah, God is not that. He's not a spirit that hovers in the world. Yeah, God is reality. There is nothing other than the Boinu Shloim. There is that's Narishkeit. So we're not commanded to believe in God. It just Hashem says Anochi Hashem. So what is it that of us that believes in Ribono Shel Olam is the neshama, because the neshama is Ribono Shel Olam. It's not like a thing like, yeah, now I believe in God. That's the neshama. That's the essence of the neshama, is the Ribono Shel Olam. So your humanity, whenever it says I believe in God, is going to be praying to an idol. Yeah. So don't have a Avodah Zarah. And then the funny thing in the humor, Hashem puts lots of jokes into the Torah. I found one of my favorite jokes is, what does it say for the second of the seven shepherds of Noach? You look in the Gemara, you look in the Chinuch, you look in the Rambam. It says Lo Levarich Es Hashem. Don't bless Hashem. And then next to Levarich, it has brackets Lekalel. Lashon Naki. He doesn't say don't curse Hashem. So he said don't bless Hashem. I think that's a remiss to the Inyan. What happens when the Umas Ha'olam bless Hashem?
October 7th.
Yeah. I would probably wager that the most said word in the world, the most said words in the world on that day was Allah Akbar. Rahman Latzlan. Yamach Shemoy. Rahmanus. So what's the benefit of that? Believe, as Hillel said, that Alaych Sani Lachmer Lo Savid. You need to believe in God for that? No. So the Umas Olam are requested to use their seichel, their God-given seichel, to extrapolate from their own ego, their own sense of self, that you and you and you, v'chule are Amanda Amma. And to go through that to such a level that, in fact, you know what? You're more real to me than I am to me. Yeah? Welcome, Gandhi, Stephen Covey, and the Hailing the Hevra of the, not Hailing, the elevated Hevra of the Umas Ha'olam. So what's our Voida? Because we should be doing that naturally. Our Voida is to identify with the Nefesh Elokis, the Neshama, and Hashem is more of a reality than I am to myself. That isn't natural to our Nefesh Bahamas. The Nefesh Bahamas is able to care about you more than itself, naturally, the Jewish Nefesh Bahamas. But the Nefesh Bahamas of Yisrael is not able to appreciate the Metzias of the Ribono Shel Olam. So the avoider of the Goy in this world is to use his intellect to come to appreciate the reality of another. The avoider of the Yisrael in this world is to use his intellect to be mechaber himself and identify himself with his Nefesh Elokis, which appreciates the reality of the Ribono Shel Olam.
So does a guy like ever believe in God?
Meet God?
Can a guy actually ever believe in God?
They could believe in God. That's like
not medical. Our definition.
I don't have all the answers. One thing I do know about everything that I know is that for everything I know, there's infinite things that I don't know, yeah?
Right.
And I,
you know
I'm,
that.
I'm, yeah, Baruch Hashem, that's something I just, we're working on a need-to-know basis, and the Rebbe tells you what you need to know, so I don't know all the Pratim, and from what my Rebbe's told me, is that in this generation, there's lots of Umas Olam whose Nefesh comes from the same place as Yisrael's Nefesh. It comes from Klipas Loiga. And I've seen that also said in the name of the Baruch Rebbe as well. And you see that with Poyle, the Olam in our generation, you know, it's not comparable to what it used to be a few years ago, you know, go back hundreds of years ago, the kinds of things that were getting on. You know, don't get me wrong, we're not, you know, we've still got a ways to go. But you know, October 7th was a... I saw it with the war in Ukraine. The war in Ukraine was, it was amazing to me how like all of, like everyone was up in arms. It's like, Russia, how dare you? What a chutzpah. How evil of you, yeah? That was a chiddush. Maybe it happened a little bit by Vietnam, but before Nam, it was just like, there's a war, please don't come near me. That was the only thought. No, there was no social injustice being thought about. There's no, it was just leave me alone. Now it's like we've become more refined as a species, you know? You can touch it and you could tarnish that as well. And I'm just saying my own opinion there. But that's what my Rebbe said, that there is the Inyan of the Umas Olam of our generation are actually coming from the place of Klipas Noiga now, where their appreciation of a human being, and I just show you my own thought, just want my own thought on this. And again, I don't have the answer, so you can just think about this, is the tragedy of a Yid having a child with a non-Jew is that the Nefesh and Akis is so to speak, killed, so to speak, Chas v'Shalom is silence, whatever, yeah? But what would happen, and I don't have the answer to this, but just think about it, what happens about the Nefesh HaBahamis of the Yid? That caused the chalik of, maybe that's used to being refined, maybe that idea is that has to have flown through, mate, you know, I don't know the answer to that, I don't know anybody who does know the answer to that, but it makes sense that if a Yid, Rachmanis, has a child with a non-Jew, a Jewish man has a child with a non-Jew, the Nefesh of Elokis got destroyed, Rachmanis, yeah, but what happens to the Nefesh of Bahamas of that new Bria? That new Ben Adam, I don't know.
Maybe it just comes through from the mother side.
So that really it doesn't, the whole, it's a funny thing to say, and there's not time to explain it now, but it actually, the Yiddishkeit is a Lieber de Gavra.
Oh yeah?
It's a Lieber de Zacher, which is a big problem when you understand that if a non-Jew man has a baby with a Jewess, yeah, it's, how can it be Jewish if it goes after the man?
Right.
Because that, and I have seen that my Rav told me this, my Rebbe told me this, my Rav Hass, my other Rebbe told me this, and I saw this in the Or Chaim as well, and it's from the Arizal, is that if a non-Jewish man has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is Jewish not because of the Jewish woman, it's because there was a Nitzot Yisrael stuck in him that had to get expressed. Wow. And the Kli that it comes through, yeah, allowed it to be.
Yeah.
Whereas the Nitzot Zelakus in the Yid that goes through the Kli of a Shiksa gets destroyed. So it's Eliba de Gavra.
Wow.
And that's the Inyan of Ratzon. That's why, because a man, you can't be manas a man, because he needs Ratzon. He needs Eva Chai for the Pa'ula.
Right.
Whereas a woman can be passive and someone can be Ma'anis, a woman, Rahmanas, and the later, it's actually good because this is the next thing we'll talk about, the later is coming from the Rotson, and that's from the man.
It's happened with Moshe Rabbeinu with the guy that he killed.
The Makosha Sheikh.
Lechora, he saw there was no nitzitz, and that's I'm thinking that in fact, that's what she said.
But the guy was Ma'anis and Jewish, wasn't there a backstory
Maybe that's the whole Indian there. You could probably explain that Aliva to just you know, Efsha. He says, Rashi says that he looked and he saw no.
Nothing's come good out of
it. Two stories, but there was a
he was Ma'anis and then he killed her. That would be the Indian of that now the nitzitz elakus has got. I'll ask my brother that tomorrow. That's a beautiful one. Sorry.
Sure. I have two questions that almost go in opposite directions. How do you fit into the framework like a non-Jew that from birth they just seem like they're totally, now it seems like naturally they're putting somebody else, they're recognizing the...
Speak a bit louder. So you're saying a non-Jew is very selfless by nature?
By nature, like they have, they're not trained, okay. Their intellect to behave like that, just by nature. Another way, how do you think about when you meet non-Jewish people who seem to be living in a way such that, like, God, and they might use other words to say this, but they're saying this, that, like, don't even see us as God. Like, they're actually...
So look, Ein Machshava Tefisa Beitlal. There is no, anything you say about the Ribbono Shel Olam, anything you think about the Ribbono Shel Olam, is absolutely wrong.
About tough is the Libon. And you see that a lot of non-Jews have a loving relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam.
With who?
With God.
Okay, look, I don't want to, again, I'm not the arbiter of truth, but the, don't think, again, like I said, the only reason why you can have the word relationship is a bit annoying as well. But the only reason why you have kesher with God is because of your neshama, which is of God. Anything of creation is not able. It's of creation. It has no connection to Creator. It has no. There's an infinite gap between creation and Creator. So you can say lots of stuff and you can think very deep thoughts. Then the real thing goes like this, is we've been so duped into thinking that creation is so lowly, when that's not true. Creation is so high. Yeah, so just because we've grown up in the West where there was no Ruchnius, yeah? So we see Ruchnius and we're like, wow, that's God. No, that's Ruchnius. Yeah, God is not Ruchni. We said that before. God is not Ruchnius, God is not Gashmius. God is God. Yeah, Ruchnius is a Nivra, just like Gashmius. Yeah, there's Madregas of so by the Goyish understanding of God, God is, and this is unfortunately by most Yidden as well, God is the highest level of Ruchnius. So the more Ruchni I become, the closer I get to God. But that's not right, because God is infinitely removed from Ruchnius as he is from Gashmius. So we have mitzvahs, which is Rotzon Hashem. So when Hashem says, eat meat and drink wine on Shabbos, or on Purim, get shikur and you know, dress up in stupid costume, yeah? Then you are, that's Elokus. And on Yom Kippur, he says, now be mamash ruchni for a whole day, that's Elokus. But not that there's anything intrinsically Elokustic about Yom Kippur, in that it's Kedusha is not connected to Ruchnius and Gashmius. You with me? So a person can come to extremely high levels of humanity, of creation, and because we're so messed up in our door, we think that's Elokus. That isn't godliness. So you can have tremendous perceptions and tremendous understandings, and we've got amazing mashalim to understand things, yeah? But whatever you think about Hashem is absolutely wrong. So, but as a human being, it makes sense to be involved in that, maybe. Yeah, but it makes more sense to be involved in working out the right principles, like the golden rule. That's what Hillel said. Like, you want to get involved in God, there's no issue in that, you know. But again, like we saw October 7th, yeah, you have a bunch of psychopaths who believe in God. Yeah, what's the benefit of that? What's the benefit of that? You know, some of them are they were all Moshe Nefesh. They were all 3,000, 10,000, however many of these behemoths came in. They were moisa nefesh for God. But that's a madrega. They were moisa nefesh for a tsura, for a pesel, in their mind, for a getchka, in their mind. That's what they, do you understand? Everyone could be mevata themselves to a getchka. Everyone is mevata, everyone's mevata themselves to getchkas. That's why the Torah was talking about, you think idolatry was just something that was back in the old days?
They're not mevatel themselves, isn't that because
they're
totally into themselves?
They're not mevatel themselves, they're using it, they're borrowing Messias from that for their own Messias. Yeah, yeah, but it looks like they're being mevatel themselves. But that's the Inyan of Shita. That was what Avraham did, where he went beyond the Shita. That was, like I said, I strive to be the least religious person in the world. That's my goal, to be the least religious man on the planet. And I look around and I'm in the running, man, because everybody's religious.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Especially the lefties in Tel Aviv.
They're the most religious. Anybody who gets really angry over stuff, yeah, they're the most religious. Religious people get angry. Why? As we said before, because they've got that wall of gaiva. Their whole religion is about their gaiva. It's about, I'm identifying with these ideas. So I'm making myself more. That's klipa sitra achra. That's the definition of klipa sitra achra. So they constantly get angry. Like these Kanoish people, I spent time with some of these people, yeah? And it was, before I understood what was going on, I remember coming back after a Rosh Hashanah davening, that like I got there, I got home just before Shkia to wash my suit. Yeah? It was such a thing. And I said to my little sister, I said, I felt like a goy in that shul. Yeah, and after a few years of deep learning, yeah, I felt that I was not amongst Yidden.
Wow, sad.
I felt I was not amongst Yidden to the point where I said in a class that I just gave that someone got really upset about, which I was really happy about, is that I said when I was in my, see, Yiddishkeit is not about, you know, when you see real Yiddishkeit, when you go to my parents' shul in Shenley, it's this little village outside of London, yeah? They've got, you know, they make a minyan on Shabbos just, and no one show me Shabbos. Yeah, no one show me Shabbos. No, they meant, so not Shabbos. On Shabbos, they make more than a minyan, but you don't have a, for sure, you don't have a minyan of show me Shabbos Yidden. Maybe there's like two people in the community. On Sunday, for some bizarre reason, yeah, they do a Shachris. They have Sunday Shachris, yeah? And you, when I went there for the first time, it's like tefillin over here, and yeah, one guy hadn't taken the tefillin out of the box, and you know, it was a circus, mamash. I'm sitting there like giggling inside, like this is ridiculous, you know, it's ridiculous. And it started to dawn on me, wow. I was like, wow, none of these people are religious, bichlal. No one in this is religious, and they're here on a Sunday morning putting on tefillin, saying words they've got no idea what they are. I was like, wow. That's mamash the Shechina. That's mamash. That's kedusha. It's not. I'm putting on tefillin and davening because I'm religious, so that's what I do. A religious person davening shachris and puts on tefillin. Yeah, they're not religious. Why are you doing it? They'd be like, I'm Jewish. Wow, you just graduated. So it came the last time I went to one of these big minyanim where you had all of these religious people, the Oivdei Hashem. Yeah, it was just b'hashkach. I never go to these minyanim. And just by Shkacha, the Shabbos before, I was in this minyan in Shenley, and I'm sitting there in Shashis. I was like, you know what, I'm going to go to this minyan near my house. I live in the heart of Yushan, so you can go to one of these avoidistic minyanim. I went to this minyan with the big ballet avoider and the verkochter, you know, and I had to leave. I felt I my experience of the Shechina Kadosha was much deeper in this Chiloni shul in Shenley than it was in this Makam Avoida in Yerushalayim. Did I answer your question a little bit? It's your shtick, now you're in the world of creation and it's human. So if your shtick is a good thing, like you want, free humanity from the iPhone, yeah, that would be a very noble cause. And you identify with that, then you have become an extremely elevated human being and kol hakavod, and the world is being miskayem on your shoulders. Or if you stand up to stop, you know, murder in your city, you identify with a cause that will give Kiyum to the Oilam, now you have become an incredibly elevated human being, Chazak V'yamatz. But that isn't, that's not called being Jewish. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is being identified with Rabbanu. So you have to have identifications in this world, you can't get away from it. You have to choose, you can't not look like something, you have to look like something, yeah? So you have to identify with all these things, but just always be able to separate. Always be able to let go, because a yid, we'll finish on this one thing. What do we say at the end of the first bracha? Magen Avraham. This is so heilig. What's Magen Avraham? Who's Magen Avraham?
Hashem.
What's Magen? It's that wall around you. Avraham's Magen wasn't a wall, it was the Ribbono Shel Olam. He wasn't identified with his chassidus. He wasn't identified with his menhagim. He wasn't identified with the derech halimud. He wasn't identified with anything of this world. So his wall was Hashem. That's called being Jewish, Bezrat Hashem.
Yeah.
That's why I was able to walk into the fire, basically.
That's why everything.
That's what I'm just
well, that's about. Actually, I'm not going, without that I'm not going to. The only, the final test was the one where it was proven that he wasn't human. But if you look in the Rashi from last week, it said that those tests, that final test, the Akedah, gave mamashus, you remember the Rashi?
Well,
gave mamashus to the tests before. What's mamashus? Chelek elekai memal mamash. So we only saw for the other test, a lot of goyim have jumped into a kivshan aish. Maybe they didn't come out. Maybe they didn't come out. Maybe they did. I don't know. Yeah, I know. What's his face? Anthony Robbins walks on fire. Yeah. Either way, all of those tests until the Akedah, it was efsha to think that they were in the realm of creation. They were human tests.
Meaning he was doing it for his, because it made sense.
He was doing it for his own sense of being. By the time we got to the Akedah, now that gave mamashus, chelek elakai mimam mamash, to the nine tests before. So now we saw that it wasn't a human, that's called lishma. Only Yisrael can be lishma. Yishkoyah.